الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة الحجرات اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالت الاعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا اسلمنا ولما يدخل الايمان في قلوبكم وان تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلدكم من اعمالكم شيئا ان الله غفور رحيم انما المؤمنون الذين امنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا باموالهم وانفسهم في سبيل الله اولئك هم الصادقون قل اتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الارض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك ان اسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي اسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم ان هداكم للايمان ان كنتم صادقين ان الله يعلم غيب السماوات والارض والله بصير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم نبر قلوبنا بالايمان واشرح صدورنا للاسلام اللهم وفقنا ان نجاهد في سبيلك باموالنا وانفسنا اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك امين يا رب العالمين We have translated ayat number 14 and 15 of Surah Al-Hujurat before discussing ayat number 15 Let us translate the rest of the ayat also. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ Say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Do you want to apprise Allah, to notify Allah of your deen? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Whereas Allah knows everything that is in the heavens and that is on the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ And what to speak of heaven and earth? Allah knows everything. So what's the background? People who entered the pale of Islam, folds of Islam, mainly because now Islam was the rising sun. And as we have seen, they didn't have the real faith. It was just a wave. Now go and have bay'ah, pay bay'ah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter Islam. When the utensils are empty, they make more noise. If there is water in some utensil, it will give less voice. If it is empty, it gives more voice. So these people who had empty hearts, hearts empty of iman, they were making tall claims of we are mu'min, we have become mu'min. So much so that they were impressing upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if they had done any favor to him because we have accepted Islam. Look, O Muhammad, we didn't go to war against you. We have accepted Islam without going to war against you. So we should be acknowledged. Our rights in the Muslim society must be bought. That was the background. So what is Allah saying? Qul, O Nabi, ask them. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them. Whom are you apprising about your Islam and deen? If you have come to believe in Allah, Allah knows everything. You need not say that we have become Muslim, we have become Mu'min. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. You want to apprise Allah of your deen and iman. You have to notify Him. Lest it might not have come in His notice. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is the fundamental attribute of Allah, that He knows everything that is in the heavens and He knows everything that is in the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah knows everything. Secondly, you are saying as if you have done some favor to me by accepting Islam. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are impressing upon you as if they have done any favor, any ihsan on you. أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا, that they have accepted Islam, that they have surrendered, that they have submitted. قُلْ, I know that by nature Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never have said these words unless Allah ordained him, commanded him to say so. His nature was that he was Rauf and Raheem, Shafiq, merciful. قُلْ, it was the commandment. قُلْ لَا تَمَنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Tell them, say to them, don't think and don't count your Islam as a favor on me personally. لا تمنوا علي اسلام بل الله يمن عليكم. On the contrary, it is Allah who has shown favor to you, that He has أَنْهَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ, He has guided you towards Iman. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are true, if you are true in your Islam, you have your steps have now come on the road which can lead you to Iman also. So this coming to accept Islam is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must accept it as a favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done you a favor, that He has let you enter the veil of Islam. Because now you can attain to real faith also. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Now this last ayah is the concluding ayah. Again the same attribute of Allah, ilm. I told you these two are very fundamental attributes, ilm and qudra. His omnipotence and omniscience. He knows everything and He has all authority and power. He can do everything. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Verily Allah knows the hidden things, things which are hidden from your eyes. You can't see what is the condition of the heart of a person. Allah knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَٰكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look to your figures and your wealth. Allah looks to your heart and your actions and deeds. So Allah knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is seeing, observing what you are doing. Now this shan-e nuzul, as I told you, the ta'wil-e khas that has become clear, I told you that after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, because now Islam was becoming and emerging as the decisive force in the Arabian Peninsula, then even the Quraysh, the virtual rulers of the Arabian Peninsula, they had accepted and acknowledged Muhammad and recognized him, that he is a power to reckon with. Now there was a wave, people coming and entering into the pale of Islam. But these people, many of them, if not the majority of them, I would dare to say the majority of them, they didn't have the real Iman. Although not nifaq also, as I discussed in the previous session. But he, they were making the loud claims of their Iman and Islam, and as if they had done some favor to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they have become Muslims, they have accepted Islam. So now these two things are made clear. Don't think you have done any favor to Muhammad or Allah. It's the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed you to enter the pale of Islam. So that now the road is open. The road to real Iman is also open. You can go there. You can reach there. Now let us discuss, you know, because in this background, the ayah that was revealed, they contain very fundamental guidance for the collective life of the Muslims. One of the basic questions is, who is to be accepted as a member of the Muslim society? Who can be considered a full citizen of an Islamic state? Although we know the basis of Islam is Iman, that Iman is in the heart, you can't see it. You can't verify whether there is Iman or not. Even electrocardiogram can't tell you anything, whether there is Iman or not. So the basic, most basic, fundamental principle of Islamic polity, Islamic political science, the constitution of Islamic state, one of the fundamental principles we discussed yesterday, sovereignty for Allah, and total supremacy of the Book of Allah and the practice Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No legislation can be done repugnant to the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the legal constitutional requirement, number one. And who can be a real, a full citizen? Who is a Muslim? The citizenship of an Islamic state and the membership of a Muslim society is based on Islam, not Iman. Because you can't verify whether Iman is there or not. So basis of social order cannot be a thing which cannot be verified. It must be tangible, it must be verifiable. So Islam is something which is verifiable, which is based on certain things which are visible from us outside. Iman is something which is hidden in the heart. So the basis of the citizenship of Islamic state is Islam, not Iman. Basis of the membership of a Muslim society is Islam, not Iman. Although, in the hereafter, the judgment of whether a person is successful in the eyes of Allah or a failure, that is to be based on Iman, not Islam. You might be a leader of the Muslims here in this world. Your Islam will not be acceptable on the Day of Judgment unless you have true Iman in your heart. There can be a question about this, but I'll leave it later, inshallah. Where the judgment would be? On the basis of Iman, because Allah knows. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ He knows whatever is there in your chest, in your heart. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ It's غَيْب for you, it's hidden for you, not for Allah. Now this subject of Iman and Islam, actually this is the biggest subject that Imam Abu Hanifa discussed in a very fundamental book of his, and that is Al-Fiqh al-Akbar. This fiqh, which we call Hanafi fiqh, it was not written by Imam Abu Hanifa at all. The fatwas of Imam Abu Hanifa and his disciples, Qazi Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Zufar, they were edited later on by the disciples. No book on fiqh, the detailed fiqh, by Imam Abu Hanifa himself, except the book Al-Fiqh al-Akbar. Although some of the people doubt even this, that is his, that was written by him personally. But generally it is accepted, it was written by Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Fiqh al-Akbar. And this is the basic, you know, question. Whether a Muslim, if he commits a major sin, he remains a Muslim or he becomes a kafir? It's a very fundamental question. Because there are ahadith which negate Iman totally on the basis of some deeds. La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'minun. ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشرب وهو مؤمن. No mu'min commits adultery when he has iman in his heart. No mu'min can commit a theft having iman in his heart. No mu'min can take liquor having iman in his heart. Iman in the heart and the body committing these big crimes, big sins. Of what use is this iman then? It's a useless thing. Throw it away. Then there's the hadith. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh from Bukhari and Muslim both. Another hadith. The Prophet once said thrice, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu. My God, he is not a mu'min. My God, I swear by Allah he is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah he is not a mu'min. The audience would have trembled at it, definitely. Who is that unfortunate person about whom the Prophet is saying, thrice he is not a mu'min, and I swear by Allah that he is not a mu'min. It was asked to him, Man ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, who, about whom are you saying? And prepare for the shock, the answer was, Allazi la ya'malu jaruhu bawa'iquhu. A person whose neighbor is not at peace due to his misbehavior. Not a major crime. Neither adultery, nor theft, nor killing anybody. Nor taking liquor. Only a misbehaved person. Due to whose misbehavior, his neighbor is not at peace. Allazi la ya'malu jaruhu bawa'iquhu. He's not a mu'min. What a moment, what a moment. And I swear by Allah, thrice that is not a moment. So there is a big question. If he is not a moment, has he become kafir? So these questions, Imam Abu Hanifa, all of us are deeply indebted to him. He discussed, dealt with these questions, basic questions, constitutional questions. If he is not, he is no longer a Muslim, it means he is a murtad. A murtad must be killed. You can very well imagine what's the logical result. If some Muslim has ceased to be a Muslim, he has become a kafir. What does that mean? He has become a murtad. And the had, the punishment for a murtad is killing. And it was the biggest blunder of the Khawarij. They had this idea. Whosoever commits a major sin, he becomes a kafir. And when he is a kafir, he is murtad, he can be killed. He is dumb. His blood is mubah. His maal is mubah. His wives are mubah. You can take his wives as your concubines, as your captive girls. You can take away from him his property and his wealth. And you can take his life because he committed a major sin. So all these things have been discussed. And that is why in the last days of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah sent Hazrat Jibreel in the form of a human being. And he asked three basic questions from the Prophet ﷺ. This is called Hadith of Jibreel. As the Muhaddithin Ikram accepted. And they have regarded it as Ummul Sunnah, just as Surah Al-Fatiha is the Ummul Quran. In the same way, this Hadith of Jibreel is the Ummul Sunnah. And the questions were, Akhbirni anil Islam. Oh, Messenger of Allah, tell me what is Islam? Who is a Muslim? Then the second question, Akhbirni anil Iman. Now tell me what is Iman? Who is a Mu'min? The third question, Akhbirni anil Ihsan. What is Ihsan? What's the highest spiritual level in Islam? And the last question was, Akhbirni anil Sa'a. Tell me something about the doomsday. When it will come. Four questions asked, and questions were answered by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet told, when the person went away, Hazrat Jibreel went away, he said, Huwa Jibreel ataakum yu'allimukum deenakum. Huwa Jibreel, he came to you to teach you your deen. You must know what is Islam, you must know what is Iman, you must know what is the difference between the two. And in one narration of this hadith, the words are, Arada an ta'allamu islam tasalu. Allah Ta'ala has sent Jibreel. Because you are not asking these questions, you should have asked. You should have asked me the question, who is the Muslim, who is the Mu'min, to define, because you didn't do it. Arada an ta'allamu islam tasalu. When you didn't ask, Allah sent Jibreel to ask you. About Islam and Iman, number one thing which must be kept in mind is that mostly these two words are used as synonymous in the Quran. Having the same meaning. Because they denote to the two sides of the same picture. In a normal human individual, Iman within, Islam in the outward behavior. Every human individual has two sides of his personality. His thought, his ideology, and his action, his behavior, his attitude. No human being can be there without these two aspects of his personality. He has some thinking, he has some values, he has some philosophy of his own. Maybe he's not conscious of it, but he has it. So Iman within, Islam without. And if both things are present in a human being, the saying in English language, call the rose by any name, it will smell as sweet. You call him as a Mu'min, you call him a Muslim, no difference. It doesn't make any difference. Call the rose by any name, it will smell as sweet. When there is Iman within, Islam without, call him a Mu'min or a Muslim, it makes no difference. The ulama have coined two terminologies to denote the difference between Iman and Islam. And there are two other pairs of terms also which have the same relationship. Aam and Khas. All will agree Islam is Aam, Iman is Khas. Every Muslim is not necessarily a Mu'min, but every Mu'min is necessarily a Muslim. If you have true Iman in the heart, you must be a Muslim. But it is not necessary that every Muslim may be a Mu'min. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ وَآمَنَّا قَلَّمْ تُؤْمَنُوا وَلَا تَنْقُلُوا أَسْلَمُوا. The same relationship exists between Nabi and Rasul. Nabi is Aam, Rasul is Khas. Every Nabi is not necessarily a messenger also, a Rasul also. Every Prophet is not necessarily a messenger also. But every messenger, every Rasul is necessarily a Nabi. The same relationship between Jihad and Qital. Qital is necessarily Jihad, but every Jihad is not Qital. Jihad is Aam, Qital is Khas. The Prophet and his companions were waging Jihad in Mecca also, while there was no Qital going on there. Qital started at Medina. So these three prayers, Islam, Iman, Nabi, Rasul, Jihad, Qital. Islam is Aam, Iman is Khas. Nabi is Aam, Rasul is Khas. Jihad is Aam, Qital is Khas. Number two, when the two individuals of these pairs, they come together, they are mentioned in one ayah or in one passage, the meanings will be different. When they are used differently, singularly, singly, they are referred to, then they might mean the same thing. They say it in Arabic, إِذَا تَفَرَّقَ اِجْتَمَعَ وَإِذَا اِجْتَمَعَ تَفَرَّقَ. When they are mentioned together somewhere, that they are denoting two different things. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Both words are appearing in the same ayah. So there is definitely a difference between the two. But Islam and Iman, they can be used in the place of each other when they are singly mentioned. Now what is, as I told you, a Muslim can have three conditions in his heart. Either positively a Mu'min, or negatively a Munafiq, or having neither Iman nor Nifaq in his heart. Now what are the arkan of Islam? This is a very famous phrase. Because this is going to be the basis of the citizenship of an Islamic state and the membership of a Muslim society. All the things are which are verifiable. Bunyal Islamu ala khamsin. Shahadat la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa iqam as-salat wa ita' az-zakat wa sawm Ramadan wa hajj al-bayt. Bunya. It means in Arabic built. Bina, building. Islam is like a building. It has five foundations. Arkan means pillars. Bunyad Islamu ala khamsin. This is a very famous hadith, muttafaqun alayh, accepted by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim as authentic hadith. And the Sahabi, the companion who narrated this hadith, reported this hadith in Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Bunyad Islamu ala khamsin. Shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Now this shahada is something outwardly act. Here iman is not mentioned. Whether you have iman or not, when you are testifying, when you are uttering the words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. There's no question of verification whether the iman is there or not. And on this, Salah, Zakah, Tawm and Hajj, and Islam is supported. Just like a roof, supported by four pillars, and underneath the pillars, there is the plinth level, not the foundation. Please note this difference of the two words. Foundation is something hidden underground. You can't see it. But a part of the foundation, it is also part of the foundation. It is over the ground level, and you call it the plinth of the building. That is why I've used that word satah. Satah is a mean ground level. Above the ground level is the plinth. So this kalma shahada, ashadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, is like the plinth of the building. Then there are four pillars. Iqamat salah, wa ita'al zakah, wa sawm ramadan, wa hajjil bayt, man istata'a ilayhi sabila. And over it is supported. The roof that is called Islam. And along with Islam there are three words. Ita'ah. What does Islam mean? To surrender, to submit. Ita'ah, to obey. What's the third one? Taqwa. To refrain from breaking the laws of Allah. And ibadah. To behave as a bondman to Allah. All these four words are very close to each other regarding their meanings. Islam, surrender. Ita'ah, obedience. Obedience has a negative aspect also. Refrain from disobeying, that is taqwa. Positively, you are obeying. Negatively, side by side, you are not disobeying. This is taqwa. Refrain from disobeying. And the most profound term is ibadah. Be a bondman to Allah. But this can be supported only through these four modes of worship. And they are all over the foundation of, over the plinth of kalma shahada. That is attestation, verbal attestation. These are the five pillars of Islam. Now you are adding things upwards, downwards, both. Downwards is iman. This is the foundation. It is invisible. Just as the foundation is embedded in the soil, real iman is embedded in the heart. And if it goes on, the depth, you know, increases till that level. As if you see Allah with your eyes, it becomes ihsan. That's the final level. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If that is the level of your faith and belief and conviction, it is ihsan. Now over Islam now you have jihad fi sabilillah. And this jihad fi sabilillah has two levels. First of all, spending your time and money and resources for the propagation of the message of Allah, propagation of deen. And then exerting yourself and waging jihad and to devote yourself to establishing the deen of Allah. That's the highest level of jihad. Now this whole picture is complete. Islam was limited to that only. Bunya al-Islam ala khamsin, shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, wa iqam al-salat wa ita'i al-zakat wa sawm ramadan wa hajj al-bayt man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Islam is complete. But if you want to have real iman, add two things. As you have a spectrum, maybe there's a spectrum which has five lights, five colors which are evident, obvious, and two are invisible. You have infrared, ultraviolet. So five are these things. Shahadat la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, wa iqami salati wa ita'i zakati wa sawmi ramadan wa hajj al-bayt. Add to it the conviction in the heart and jihad in action, and now iman is complete. They are additional. Over and above the five, Islam is included in iman. There can be no iman without Islam. Iman is khas. Islam is am. Iman includes Islam. As you may say, the second story is definitely built on the first story. There can be no second story without the first one. That is inevitable. So you may say that the real iman has two pillars. Yaqeen, innama al-mu'minuna allazeena amanu billahi wa rasoolihi thumma lam yartabu. And jihad, wajahadu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. But in between the two, you have to add shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah wa iqamu salati wa ita'i zakati wa sawmi ramadana wa hajj al-bayt. Let me quote a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here. This is from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, and reported by and included in their collections of ahadith by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Nasa'i rahimahumullah. الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة وأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن الطريق. إيمان is a very profound reality. It has so many branches. It encompasses the whole latitude, whole life of a human being. The most fundamental is لا إله إلا الله. And even if you are walking on some road and you find something which can be painful, injurious to anybody, and you remove it, it is included in iman. Whole action, total attitude of a human being, iman covers it. And this is again a very controversial subject. Is iman and amal one and the same thing? Or iman is separate, amal is separate. Imam Abu Hanifa says there are two different categories. Imam Bukhari says no. Al imanu qawlun wa amal. Both are included in iman. The difference is that Imam Abu Hanifa is the jurist. He is talking about the legal aspect of iman. By dint of iman, you become a Muslim. And in the life of a Muslim, iman will depend only on what he is saying, attestation. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He will be accepted as a Muslim. He might be a fasik, he might be a fajir. He might be saying something else, doing something else. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu lima taquluna ma la tafalun. But when real iman has entered the heart of a person, now the whole personality is covered. It is transformed. So at the level of real iman, iman and amal, they become one. Inseparable from each other. Amal becomes an integral part of iman, not a separate thing. Now this definition of iman which we find here, real iman has two essential constituents. Conviction or yaqeen in the heart, and jihad in the amal, in the action. This very definition has been given another surah of the Quran, and that is Surah Al-Anfal. There these two things are separated and very beautifully. In the beginning of the surah we find this internal fight. And what should be the result of that internal faith on the personal behavior of a person. And in the end of the surah we find the other thing, the other integral part of iman. Let me quote ayat 2-4, three ayats from the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا قُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Verily the true mu'min are those that when Allah is remembered, their hearts tremble. And when Allah's ayat are read to them, their iman increases. And they have all their trust and faith in Allah only. And they establish the prayer. And they regularly give the obligatory charity. And they are the true mu'mins. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. In the end we find وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. Whosoever came to believe, then they did hijrah for the cause of Allah, then they went to jihad for the cause of Allah. And those of the Medina, of the city of Medina, who helped them, who gave them refuge, all these are أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These two elements separated. Just as in the compass you have two arms, they can, if they come together, that is the ayah number 15 of Surah Al-Hujurat. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. In Surah Al-Anfal, these two things are separated. One in the beginning, the other is mentioned in the end. And now, where from can we get this real conviction? It's the practical problem, practical issue. When we have come to know that real iman comprises of two conditions. Iman reaching the level of conviction and jihad in action. So we must try to understand what is jihad. And first of all, where we can get that real conviction? Is there any supermarket which deals with this conviction? Please know there are three ways of getting real iman. Number one, through practice. If you have accepted Islam, now you have to say five prayers a day. Continue doing it. This action of yours will reflect on the inner side of your personality. And you will get iman in due course of time. Just as iman produces action, this action produces iman. It's a two-way phenomenon. You are practicing, practicing. But I told you, in totality, not partially. Partial practice, partial obedience is no obedience. Partial practice is no practice. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter Islam in totality, not partial. Now you are doing it. And this way has been shown to these Bedouin Arabs here. Don't think that you have done a favor upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you have done some ihsan on Allah that you have entered Islam and accepted Iman. You must acknowledge Allah's favor that He has done to you. That if you have accepted Islam, now you are on the road to Iman. If you go on obeying, go on practicing, go on offering prayers, go on offering zakah, go on keeping psalm, go on doing refraining from whatever is haram, then actually in due course of time, iman, real faith, real conviction will enter your heart. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. The only condition is, if you have accepted Islam, not with any ulterior motive, not with nifaq, if that negative side is not there, although you have accepted Islam and up till this time iman has not entered your heart, but if you go on obeying, continue practicing Islam, real iman will also come to your heart. And this is the road that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَالِحِينَ. This is one way. And let me remind here one of a very popular movement in the world of Islam is using this methodology, and that is Tablighi Jamaah. Practice and practice and practice and practice. Go out for 40 days, go out for 120 days. Leave this atmosphere, leave this environment. Live in an environment where you are saying your prayers punctually at the proper time with the congregation. Call the 40 days when you are outside from your home, from your business, and you have devoted all your time, so you are practicing. This practice, continuous practice, will have an effect on your inner personality. You will get a reflection of iman within your heart. I agree with it. Although I'll tell you where I differ, I'll tell also. The second way, and very easy way of getting iman, serious than this one, to keep the company of those who have real and deep iman. This we call sohbah. And Allah said in Surah At-Tawbah, Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Be with them, remain with them, keep their company. In imperceptible way, iman will travel from their heart to your heart. It's a rule. Kharbooze ko dekh ke kharbooza rang pakadta hai. If you are sitting in front of a furnace, heat will reach you, whether you have done something or not. But you are sitting near a furnace. Heat will reach you. It's a physical phenomenon. If you are sitting near ice blocks, this coldness will come to you. It's a physical phenomenon. That is why the quality of iman that Sahaba had due to the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that quality of iman cannot be attained by any person after the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was the biggest steel furnace of iman, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was mujassam iman, iman personified. So his company, people who were near them, near him, only they should have been good conductors of heat. Bad conductors of heat won't take that heat, even if they are in the presence of a furnace. Abu Jahl couldn't get it. He was a bad conductor. Abu Lahab couldn't get it. He was a bad conductor. But everybody who is a good conductor of heat, if he is sitting in front of a furnace, he will get the heat. But both these imams, please note, will be without an intellectual element. Because your thinking process is not involved in it. You are getting it passively. Iman that has an intellectual dimension, intellectual element, to which Quran denotes by the words which appear in Surah Yusuf. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Proclaim, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, listen, this is my path, and I am calling towards Allah, not blindly. Ala basiratin ana, with the insight that I have. And not only me, wa man ittaba'ani, those who are following me, they are not following blindly, they are following me with insight and open eyes. Qul hadhihi sabili adu ila Allahi ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani. That iman can be got only from Quran, nowhere else. You ponder over Quran. You dive deep into the meaning of the Quran. And then you will get the faith, the conviction, which has an intellectual element. An element and dimension of thought. Your thought process is in God. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This Mubarak book, we have made it descend down on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that people should ponder over this ayat, think over this ayat, and think deeply. This thought process, which we have discussed in the second lesson of the second part, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَٰذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Where this thought process, because man is intellectual animal. حَيْوَانِ عَقِلِ. This is actually the differentiating point. So an iman, if it is without intellectual element, although this blind faith is also very precious, very effective, it will transform the personality and character of that person. But to transform a society, you need that iman which has an intellectual element. Blind faith will not be able to transform the society. Because human society behaves as human organism. And we have in the human organism this brain. We have our arms. They can hold something. They can do something. What to do, what not to do, what to hold, what not to hold, is decided here. That deciding, decision-making faculty, arms don't possess. Our legs can carry us to some place. But where to go, where not to go? To fix the direction, to fix the destiny, that's not the function of the legs. It's done somewhere here. In the same way, the brain trust of this society, the intellectual elite of this society, unless they can be convinced of iman, unless they are converted to iman, the society as a whole will not accept it. Individuals will change, society will not change. And this is the point where I disagree with the methodology. That methodology is very effective for common people. But it doesn't take into account absolutely the intellect of the person. Unless that fellow can be, that aspect can be catered to, we won't be able to establish Islam as a social order in any part of the world. So that iman can be had only from Quran. And I told you, those of you who were present in those sessions also, this iman came to Muhammad also through Quran. Very important ayah of the Quran. After the ayah which gives three kinds of revelations. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحِيَ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. And then Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَٰكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَن نَّشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُّسْتَقِيمٍ. Oh Muhammad, even you didn't know what is the book. What's iman? You didn't know it. You made this Quran, this Wahi, this revelation, the light with which we guide whomsoever we like. Now with that, the light, you have been guided. And now you are to guide the whole of humanity. This iman came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Quran. And that is why Quran says, Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid, هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزَّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is sending down on His bonds man, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His ayat bayyinat is revealing to him these ayat of Quran. Ayat bayyinat liyukhrijakum, so that he takes you out min az-zulumat ila an-nur, from all the darknesses into the light of iman. Darkness of kufr, darkness of nifaq, darkness of the love of this world, darkness of materialism, a darkness of everything, from all darknesses, min az-zulumat ila an-nur. These ayat bayyinat only can take you out from all the shades of darkness into the nur of iman. So we have to turn to Quran for that iman, which has an intellectual element also, the dimension of intellectual, which can appeal to the intellectual elite also, which can transform the society as a whole, because it can convert the brain trust of the society. Now let me quote a hadith also in this respect. One of the most beautiful ahadith. It has been included by Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah in his book Dalailun Nabuwah. And it is from Amr ibn Shu'ayb an Abihi an Jaddihi. The question once was asked by the Prophet to his companions. Let's imagine a sitting of the Prophet and the companions. They are talking cordially. And the Prophet put a question. أَيُّ الْخَلْقِ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ إِيمَانًا. Who among all the creatures of Allah has the most beautiful iman? أَعْجَب. Ajib in Arabic means something which appeals to your heart. Beautiful. أَعْجَب. The most beautiful iman. Who can have that beautiful, the most beautiful iman, in your opinion? أَيُّ الْخَلْقِ أَعْجَبُ إِيمَانًا. أَيُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْكُمْ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ إِيمَانًا. Which of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your opinion, does have the most beautiful iman? The Sahaba replied, in the first attempt, Al-Malaika. You know, the angels, they are in the presence of Allah. They see the Jannah and the Jahannam. Their iman is perfect, 100%. The Prophet replied, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. How can they not have iman when they are with their Rabb? So what's to their credit if they have iman? It's not at all creditable. The second attempt, the Sahaba said, فَالْأَنْبِيَا. Then the Prophets, they are human beings. The Prophet didn't accept this answer also. وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْوَحْيُ يَنْزُلُوا عَلَيْهُ. How come they didn't have iman? How couldn't they have iman when the wahi came to them? So nothing specially creditable. Wahi came to them. In the third attempt they said, فَنَحْنُ. Then we are. We have the best iman. They rejected again. وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُؤْمِنُوا وَأَنَا بَيْنَ عَظَرُكُمْ. How can it be that you don't have iman when I am with you, I am among you, أَنَا بَيْنَ عَظَرُكُمْ. Now the Prophet said, إِنَّ عَاجَبَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيَّ إِيمَانًا لَإِخْوَانُنَا الَّذِينَ يَعْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي يَجَدُونَ صُحُفًا فِيهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا فِيهَا. In my opinion, the most beautiful iman would be of our brothers, ikhwanuna. How beautiful a word used by the Prophet. الَّذِينَ يَعْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, who will come after me. إِنَّ عَجَبَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيَّ إِيمَانًا لإخواننا الذين يأتون من بعدي يجدون صعوبا فيه كتاب الله. They will find leaves in which the book of Allah will be written. فيؤمنون بما فيها. And then they will have iman on what has been written in it. For them the source of iman will be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That iman is open to me and you. This is the most beautiful iman according to the saying of the Prophet. But please mind, ajab most beautiful is something, and supreme, that is something else. Iman of Sahaba was supreme, afdal. Afdal was the iman of Sahaba, but ajab, most beautiful. These two things, don't confuse them. Afdalul iman, that is of the Sahaba. The intensity of iman that Sahaba had, we can't have. But the most beautiful iman, according to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is open to us. Only if we turn towards Quran in the right earnest. I'm quoting in the end a couplet from Maulana Zafar Ali Khan. Wo jins nahi iman jise le aaye dukaane falsafa se, dhoondhe se milegi aakil ko ye Quran ke sipahon mein. An intellectual person would find iman only from Quran and from nowhere else. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.